You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of Honest AF Show. I'm Daniela Clark.
And I'm Barbara Ann Wild.
Thank you very much for tuning in and listening to us. And today we're super excited because we have another one of our amazing, lovely guests. We have the beautiful, beautiful, gorgeous Etty Lau Farrell.
Yay! Etty!
Etty came to visit us and we're so excited. Social distancing in our studio.
Yes, we're being very responsible.
We are being very responsible, and actually.
Etty, thank you so much for coming and hanging out with us today.
You
guys,
me.
I wish we had a video because you guys are totally missing out. The outfit is so freaking cute. The boobs are out, the legs are out. We've got a short little cute dancer skirt on. We've got boots on. Very sexy, very cute. Thank you. I appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
Always a feast for the eyes.
Thank you.
And
seems like that's a running theme with all your friends.
All my friends. Well, I told you.
She's got gorgeous friends. I've seen on social media.
Absolutely. All my friends are gorgeous. Okay, so I'm a very visual person, and I love to surround myself with beauty. So beautiful
you
women. Beautiful
you have
men,
to have Libra. You have to have Venus or Libra in your chart somewhere.
No, I'm an Aquarius.
Really? Because that's such a Libra.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. You have to have Venus somewhere in your chart.
We're going to do a chart.
And I read you're a Sagittarius.
You did. Yes, I
did.
I am.
That's
yes,
very
I
important am. Information. I always tell Frankie when she's talking to a gentleman, I'm like, did you find out his birthday? She's like, oh, not yet. I'm like, that's like the second question after your name.
Well, nowadays it's really birthday, social security, hometown, so I can do a background check on you because she probably met you online.
That's so funny.
Yeah, exactly. It's all just Google. So, Etty, you guys have met before, Barb, you and Etty.
For all of like 5 minutes, Dave Grohl and Zach share a birthday. So, Dave had a big birthday party at the Forum, mm-hmm. which you were at that
I
show
was there.
Too.
I was there.
And Perry performed with Dave and so did Zach. They didn't all perform together, but at different times. So I had met you briefly.
That was a tough one because I remember I was really sick.
Oh, you were?
And I was.
It was pouring rain.
It was
too,
pouring
remember?
Rain, and I had a fever. And I remember thinking, I don't want to go, but I should go. We ended up going, and I remember. I remember it was raining really, really hard. And I remember they went on stage and they did the songs that they said they would. And they talked about doing Roller Coaster, that one song, I forgot the name. But no one took the initiative to learn the verses. They all knew the choruses, but not one of them knew the verses. And they were playing and they all started... And then start looking around at each other.
The Jaeger was flowing. Dave was feeling no pain.
He was having a great time.
He
was having a good time. Yeah. And they all of a sudden decided, okay, so no one learned the damn song. Never mind. But we all thought that when you...
That's not part of it.
You all thought that when you're asked to do a show as a guest...
Or as a jam.
You do the part you know. Yeah. And they all knew that one part. But I felt like it was the food's responsibility to learn the song.
I have to be honest with you.
Dave, it was you.
It was really a hard thing, but it turned out to be a great show. And
it was such a fun show.
Tell you something really funny. So my oldest son just turned 27.
Wow.
And Perry is his hero.
Hero.
He worked at Warner Brothers when he got out of UCLA for a couple of years.
I guess we should say that we didn't even say that. For those of you that don't know Etty, we're just assuming. But for those of you who don't, Etty is married to the amazing Perry Farrell from Jane's Addiction. So,
yes. So at the show, my son was with us and... He loves Perry and he loves Lollapalooza and the whole movement.
Right.
And I've been working in the music industry since I'm 19 years old, and I worked at William Morris Agency. So I remember when Lollapalooza was like
beginning.
Yes.
Yes.
And so Jesse grew up with, he's his mentor. I mean, anything Perry is like. So when you guys were backstage, my son was like, Mom, can you introduce me? I said, I've never met him. And Zach said, I'll introduce you. And you were not feeling well. And you guys came in, your set was over. And my son was like, oh, no, I'm not going to get to meet Perry. And I said, oh, don't worry. One day it'll all work out. We'll meet, you know, you'll meet him or whatever, because he wants to do events.
Right.
Danielle and I were talking one day and she's like, do you know Etty? And I said, we met for about half a second. Daniela said, oh, you know, you'll love her. I can't wait. I'm like, oh my God, if you can figure out a way for Jesse to meet Perry one day and just like pick his brain for 5 minutes, Jesse would be in heaven.
We'll do a dinner. We should.
Yeah, all we should all do
our dinner.
Yes.
Yes, yeah. I think we should.
That would be great.
I just got us a little bit of video of us.
Awesome.
Yeah, we should totally do dinner. That would be super fun. I haven't seen you in forever, actually. I think the last time I saw you, was it your birthday party?
Yes. I feel like...
You guys played that little club in Hollywood. It was right before all this started, actually.
Yeah, so that was... I think the last two times you saw me was my birthday years ago. Remember you said you came and visited me in Brentwood, but that house was actually in Santa Monica.
Okay.
I had a 10th anniversary of my 29th birthday. I think
there you go. I love that.
It was so sad for
Daniela,
me.
Daniela, we need to do that. Your 20th anniversary.
So instead
it was hilarious.
So now instead of doing a birthday get together, I do birthday getaways. So I do no longer celebrate. I mean, and then last year it was another, it was 45.
Yeah.
And we did, God.
You guys did like a little show and it was at this club in Hollywood.
It's in town.
Gilby and I
Sayers
came.
Club.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yes. And thank you for coming. Yeah. It was so last minute.
It
up to Perry and
it was fun. You guys did this whole thing together. It was really fun. But I remember the party that you're talking about at your house that we went to, that was freaking hilarious. Because Perry hired her a stripper.
Oh, two nice. Strippers.
Yeah.
So here's the story, right? While Perry and I were dating, and you know how it is. You date,
tell
you
everybody how you guys met, and then we'll go into your stripper story. Okay.
So we met in 1997 when Jane's Addiction was... going back out on tour, and it was called It's My Party Tour. It's after Dave Navarro came back from the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah.
And Perry was in Porno for Pyros.
Right.
So 97, they were getting back together, and it was going to be called the It's My Party Tour, which very quickly was dubbed the Relapse Tour. But to be fair, no one relapsed. Everyone just kept going.
Yeah, sure.
One person relapsed, but the others never stopped. So
you can't exactly call it a relapse.
So that people stop thing. They went in, had a big audition, and I'm going to be honest with you. Before I went on the audition, this is 97, I had never heard of Jane's Addiction.
Mm-hmm.
I came from...
I know the story, and it's so freaking cute. Right. I think about it sometimes.
I can't wait to hear it.
So came from Seattle, so we are very much the Puget Sound, where, Nirvana, Pearl Jam, Soundgarden. If you want to go deeper, you get Mudhoney, Skinny Puppy, it's
totally
that sound. So Jane's Addiction was not really on my radar. So I went on to audition, and my dance agent said, it is very, very important that you book this job. And I was at the audition, and, it was loud. And I said, is there any way?
How long were you dancing for at this point?
Oh, all my life.
Your whole life.
You
were born in Hong Kong.
I was born in Hong Kong, and I went to the Royal Academy of Dancing.
Okay.
And when I came to, I moved to Seattle.
Because with us, like in the music industry, when you say you're a dancer.
You're a stripper.
You're a stripper.
Yeah. No. I know.
You're actually a dancer.
Right. I'm a
classically
professional
trained
dancer. Yes. I was a ballerina.
I just wanted to make that clear so our listeners know.
Thank you. So... So in Seattle, I have the studio, Dance Mom kind of studio, but I also attended Pacific Northwest Ballet and then Cornish College of the Arts.
Wow.
I came down here on a dance scholarship at Edge Performing Arts Center, which was in Hollywood. I think they recently had to close down because of COVID. And it was a very sad moment.
How old were you when you came?
I was 19 when I came to LA. And I was 22 when I auditioned for Jane's Addiction.
Okay.
And they did not hire me. They did not hire me because Perry was not present, and he left it up to his, quote, management team, which at that time consisted of his drug dealer. And they're passing. Why not?
We've had a couple of those managers.
Not, I mean, drug dealer, management.
Manager,
I mean, it's just handling money and engagements, right?
Yeah. Right.
So they hired women that they thought they could
bang,
get busy with.
Right.
And Perry actually has to tell the story because they hired...
I love Perry's version of the story. I remember it because he told it to us one night at dinner.
Did he tell you that they hired this little Asian girl? Because, you know, I mean, let's be honest. When you go on calls, they do one Asian. Like, there's like 8 white girls, one Asian girl, and one black girl.
Yeah.
Just to make, you know, fair across the board. So they have that one Asian girl, and they hired this one woman... And I swear to you, she was walking around backstage completely naked.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
With a python. Yeah. With a real snake.
Wow.
And...
Well, maybe I'd hire her,
She's a wild girl.
Well,
it
gets better. Yeah. Management thought, wow, this girl's going to fucking walk around naked. I'm going to get my dick sucked.
You know what I mean? Everyone's going to get their dick sucked. You're going to get your dick sucked.
Exactly. So she walked up to Perry and she said, I'm so excited. Thank you for hiring me. And she presented him with a VHS tape, because this is 97. VHS was a very big fucking deal. A VHS tape. I think of her in a dog pile. She was a porn star. So, porn girl. I don't know if she's a star. Porn person. Perry likes to say she's not a star. She's a porn person.
Okay.
And Perry thought, oh, no. So, I'm going to have one of these girls chasing me around. I can't get rid of her because he's on my tour. There's no way. This is bad, but I don't know where the other girl went. They hired this other girl. That was so wrong for the job that all the dancers, all of us were like, the fuck is happening? Yeah. You know, like you show up and you're like, you know, back in the 90s, it's always like body conscious, ready to dance, sexy, body conscious. And so when we show up to audition, I would say 9 out of 10, you're in a bra, little booty shorts, thigh high, you know, fishnets, heels, and you're just done. And this girl was not that girl, but she booked the job. Don't know the fuck why. And she wasn't that cute in like the body either. If you can't dance,
at least be
shaped like Daniela. So
exactly.
I'm sure you're very cute too, but you're covered up today.
Exactly.
So she is. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, without
a
doubt.
She was neither. And I think Perry walked in and went, no. Caught all the girls back. And
you were one of the girls they called back.
I was one of the girls they called back.
Uh-huh.
And I guess if you ask Perry, he just said, you know, he saw me and he got my outfit wrong. He said something about...
Wait, can I tell you the version I remember Perry said?
Yes, yes.
Perry said he looked through a window in the studio.
Okay. Which there was no window in the studio. It was at the Grand Olympic. Remember Grand Olympic? Oh. Do you remember the Grand Olympic?
No, I don't remember the Grand Olympic.
You do remember the Grand Olympic?
In Seattle?
No, in LA. It's neither on Grand nor Olympic. It's
that's funny.
People do a lot. They used to do a bunch of shows back then. Oh, okay. I know that Motley Crue did their rehearsal and shows there. It's now a gigantic...
Gilly probably remembers it.
Like
probably,
a 3,000-seater Korean church downtown.
Oh.
But go on.
Oh, wow.
So,
what I remember is we were dinner one night and Perry was telling this version of how she caught his eye, and it stuck with me. It complete, because I'm so visual, it totally stuck
with
me because he painted the picture.
Let's hear it.
And he said he saw her dancing from behind, and her hair was so long and it was touching her, it was swaying on the bottom, like around her butt, and he couldn't keep his eyes off of it, and he thought that was so sexy, the way her hair was moving on her butt.
And so, right,
it was like sweeping your ass.
Right, he
says
she's just sweeping the top of my butt. So,
am I right in that?
Yes, you are very right.
Okay,
and we're on. I mean, we don't have visual, but I'm one of the probably like 10 Asian girls that have a big butt. It's a little disturbing because when I go back home, like I'm a freak of nature.
You
over
are
there.
A freak of nature, Auntie.
Like a big. You know, but anyway, so I was running out and I did not know the band. Now, understand, I do not know who they are. I do not know what they look like. My version would be I'm leaving. I walk by all of them. Bye, everyone. Wave. And just walked off. Got into my car. And now this is the funny thing, right? So Perry ran out after me to see what kind of car I was driving.
Interesting.
Okay, now if I was a normal...
Is he a car guy?
He's not. Oh. He was just wondering if I'm like a Honda...
Is that something Gilby would do?
But like a Honda Acura, like... Right. God forbid I should have like a Tercel, like a Toyota Tercel, or like a Honda Civic. Those are like Asian cars that they soup up, right? Like these little
so
tiny cars
with like
Volkswagen
soup up bug stuff. Or something really hot.
Right, but no, I had a Firebird.
Oh.
I had a Trans Am with T-tops.
What a sex bot.
A white, and I just puked on. He thought, oh my God, that's my girl. Because his first car was a Camaro.
Yeah.
And so got the job. And we toured. It was for 5 weeks. And it's odd because at that time, I was so fucking green and just new to this world. You know, I was a ballerina. I have a structure. And you go into a rock and roll world. And I still remember the first time I saw cocaine because I'm that idiot, right? And I walked in. And in San Francisco, they did the Civic Center with Bill Graham Presents.
Oh, yeah.
And it was an all-night party. And I walked into
you
their
dressing
room. You
have the craziest memory. It's amazing.
I do. I have
that's
very detail-oriented.
Sages are storytellers of the Zodiac.
Well, and I also have crazy memory. And I also do a lot of research. So, and I remember running and going, what is that? Looked like somebody just, no joke, dumped out a fistful of flour with all these little straws around. I had no idea what that was, right? So, and he was at that time, unfortunately, a partier and
indulging.
Very indulging in the forms of IV speedballs.
Were you attracted to him right away when you saw him?
I was hiding from him. And you know, it's if you're not used to dealing.
Was he hitting on you right away?
He wasn't hitting on me, but it was, he made it very clear, and you guys would understand as being married to rock and roll people yourselves, you understand that, you know, if a woman comes in that she may be quote game, they call dibs on.
Right.
So the lead singer basically said, I got dibs on this one. So
nobody else.
Nobody else.
Right.
Yeah. No one else pissed on
but
her.
I did. But I did. And I think this is not, you know, at that time, you guys are going to die. I ended up fucking
like
hooking up
player?
With the bus driver.
The bus driver?
That is funny.
No.
I know.
That's so
I remember
funny.
Daniela giving me a
the
very strong lecture after
goodness.
The fact at Maestro's over steak and lobster match.
Maestro's
she
is great.
Goes, Etty, you've got the lead singer and you went after the bus driver. And
that's
I learned
hysterical.
A lot. I learned a lot from this one. I also learned there's such a thing as LSS. You were the one that explained to me what LSS is. And
lead singer syndrome.
Oh,
yes.
That's hysterical.
Do you believe in it?
Well, here, I'm a little different because Ozzy, I don't know if you know Ozzy, but Zach's been with Ozzy since Zach was 18. He auditioned for Ozzy.
And this is way back, like in the
70s. 87.
Yes,
87.
I do remember, yes.
And
it was a big deal, too, because
really
he
was
the protege, the...
Yeah.
The one that came out of nowhere, a very young kid. I think he Randy Rhodes, want to say,
Randy
right?
Rhodes, Randy Rhodes passed away. And then there was Jakey Lee, who was in before Zach.
Okay. And then
Zach.
This young phenom showed up out of nowhere,
and, you know,
right?
He was really pretty. At least then. Now you see him with the beard and everything.
Now
but
he's a Viking
and a kid.
But
he's so blonde.
Really? I need
to see. 6 foot blonde.
I'm excited about
very
Vikings.
And he is truly a Viking. He's very excited about his heritage, too. We've been doing ancestry. He's like, see, I'm from that, you know,
really?
The land of the ice and snow. I'm like, yeah, okay, chill out. Dude.
But anyway. Can you build me a snowman?
Exactly right. But... Ozzy is so wonderful, and he's so loving, and he's so not that guy.
Yeah.
So Zach and I always say we're so spoiled. We've never experienced that. It was more the American artists, to be honest.
Well, I think also LSS exists in marriage, maybe.
Well, number one, so Perry refused to believe there's such thing as LSS. We actually had a full conversation after that on a plane. At that time, he was reading.
He's like, babe, you don't think I have. It, right?
No, of course not. I don't even know. It's a lie. She doesn't know what she's talking about.
She's crazy.
She just, I don't know. She wasn't even drinking. I don't know.
Drunk and she wasn't even drinking.
Exactly. So he was reading Keith Richards' biography at the time.
Oh, yeah.
And Keith said, Mick had LSS, and I remember being asleep on the plane. He was shaking me. He goes, oh my God, this LSS thing, it's
LSS
real.
Or LSD, lead singer syndrome.
Yes, okay. LSS, yeah. Same thing.
LSD is something LSD. Altogether different.
Yeah,
than
it could be lead singer disease.
So he was shaking me. He goes, oh, I guess it is true. To be fair, though, Perry is truly one of like the nicest, most humble human being. And, you know, he could be completely different if he wants to be, but he isn't. He's like really the nicest guy.
Eddie?
He's an Aries. He's March 29th.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
But he's had such a rough childhood, and he really is so loving and caring as a human being. So the only time that LSS applies is punctuality, as you could tell.
Oh, yeah.
I am late, and it's fucking contagious. It's contagious. I remember I did this one show.
Auntie showed up an hour late today.
Yeah, I did.
It's forgiven. There's a lot of stuff going on.
I remember I was on this other show, and they had to do this big photo shoot on E! Network. I remember thinking, oh my God.
Oh, was that
God.
The one you did
Married
with?
Married to Rock, yes.
Married to Rock, you did it with Susan.
Oh, there's a whole story behind that. But moving on from, before
yes,
we get into
that,
because I'm not drunk enough for that yet, because I have words to say about that.
Auntie showed up with two bottles of champagne, not one, but two.
Do we have major truth serum because
one.
We are honest
exactly.
AF?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Honest as fuck, right?
That's right. 100%.
And my husband, Perry, is actually a little worried about me coming on the show. He goes, okay.
Don't
you understand that you can't just say whatever comes to your mind, because people hear that and people have feelings. I'm like, yeah, okay. So anyway, so it's just to punch out. I remember negotiating my call time.
Uh-huh.
I'm not showing up at 6. I'm sorry. And still an hour late. It was a punctuality. But other than that,
anyone that knows anything about musicians knows to pad the timing.
Yeah, but no. But Navarro's always early.
Yeah. Zach is always late, but Ozzy is so on time.
Really?
Sharon's always late, and he has a fit. I always fib to Zach. So if we need to be somewhere at 4 o'clock, I tell him 3:15. We get in the car at 3:30. We get there at 4 o'clock. But I've learned that over the years.
If you have to be there at four, let's get in the car around 3:30-ish, and we're running late. We get into the car at 4:15.
He'll ask me like five times. Do I need to be? We need to leave at three. What time do we need to leave? 3:15. What time do I need to be on the radio? Right around 3:30, we'll get there a little late. Oh, okay. And we're early.
Yeah. But you end up getting
like,
early.
Oh, wow. Zach's on time today, but Ozzy is always on time.
Yeah. And then the one time that you're early, you end up waiting at the airport for fucking 3 hours.
That's
true.
Okay.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
But he's like, honestly, when I say LSS is really punctuality, and I would say to new tour managers, the more you hurry him, the motherfucker just takes his time.
Yeah.
The plane's gonna fucking leave, dude. You gotta hurry. You gotta go. I don't like the scarf I'm wearing. Or I don't like, you know, this necklace. I said, can't you just bring it and try it on the car? No.
That's one of the things I really love about Perry is his fashion sense.
Oh, he's good. He's good like that.
I love his fashion sense. He's always sporting something really, really fab. He always looks amazing. He puts so much effort in.
Well,
and I appreciate that.
And what's wonderful as well is that he doesn't mind how much I spend.
That's a bonus.
That's awesome.
When we have a stylist come over, you know, when we used to do shows, or, you know, when we do Lollapaloozas, now that we have 6-7 around the world, we have a stylist come in at the top of the season, and they'll set up my, the big,
wardrobe.
What's that one room? No, I wish I had a big wardrobe. We haven't gotten there yet. We have that big empty room, like the fun sitting drawing room.
Green
I don't
room?
Know. That's, yeah, like a big room that people sit around, right?
Yeah.
And that would
turn
into our boutique, like a pop-up boutique with everything. Yeah. I would be very careful about what I want. 2 pairs of shoes. He would have like 6, 7, 8, 9. I would take them all.
Yeah.
So the good thing is, because he is so enthusiastic about fashion and clothing, he doesn't mind.
That's great.
That I participate
as
well.
No, I think
it's
loves
good,
it.
Right?
Yeah,
it's good, right?
It's
good.
It. Besides, you're gorgeous. I mean,
when it's fun to dress up, which is why you're in the business you're in.
Yeah, no,
absolutely.
I love it. So, okay, so going back, because I want to, there's so much I want to talk to you about. Barb and I were talking about this. Like, I mean, you guys started Lollapalooza, and I want to talk about that and how that's evolved now.
Okay.
But let's first, we got to finish the story of, so you met Perry by auditioning for him, and then how did he hit on you? How did that happen?
Oh, well, he would just hit on me with the craziest. So he would say, and this is coming from him, he would, one time he'd be, Etsy's walking by. So he would just wanting to have a conversation. But as you know, if you're shooting speedballs, your social skills
are just a little lacking.
Yeah. So he would say that he would slam a giant speedball into his arm.
Oh, God.
And he'd be like, where's Etty? And now Etty would...
Because he gave him the courage.
And Etty would be like, the fuck? No. And we would go into this whole game of hide and seek. And sometimes he would find me, sometimes he won't. And when he would find me, he would say, oh, God, the devil's been scratching at your back. You've got scratches in your back. I'm like, okay, now you're just fucking crazy. Or he would, like, one time he cornered me in the shower. Not naked, fully clothed. Took me into the shower room. No, the shower room. You know, when you're in the arenas, there's, like, the hockey... dressing room where they have showers. It's like a high school bathroom with showers, right?
Yeah.
And he would say, you have no love in you. What? So he was scary. And I would try to hide from him the entire time.
That's so
funny. I was fucking the bus driver anyway, so
that is the funniest thing ever.
He was a young George Clooney, I have to say.
Okay.
So we always had Vietnam vets with PTSD
and really scary dudes, and
we had one that was like trying to hit on my niece who was selling the merch at the time. She was like this totally gorgeous little 17-year-old selling merch for us, and he was buying her, you know, the claws at the truck stops with all the stuffed animals.
No,
he was winning her stuffed animals at like
I don't know how he did it, but he would put them in her bunk.
And my husband was like, she'd be like, Uncle Zach, and he'd be like, did she just call him Uncle Zach? And like, stay the fuck away from her.
Like, your husband, Uncle Zach?
Yeah. My niece. So she was calling my husband Uncle Zach.
But that's okay, though, because that's what she
called. The bus driver was hot for her, and he would, like, win her stuffed animals and put them in the bunk.
Oh, I thought your husband was winning things for her.
My nephew.
Okay. I was like, that's nice of your husband.
My husband was like, stay the fuck away from my niece. This guy was nuts. Yeah. But we haven't had any, I never had any hot bus drivers.
No, he was probably one of the first ones, and what that tour did was the, if you guys ever seen it, It was just.
Did he get fired after you hooked up with Perry? Though?
No. But I guess I. But the story is spread. It actually made me a little more like, you know. My real estate went up just a little because he would send spies onto the dancers bus. So the band had their own bus.
Funny.
And they put dancers. They had three professional dancers and two strippers. Oh. But those strippers are these amazing girls that could do pole work. So the stage.
Oh, yeah. If anyone's ever been to a Jane's Addiction show,
they have.
Oh, my God.
Well, especially the 97.
Yeah.
The stage had two stories.
Yeah.
But the pole went up one more story. So it's got, you know, the stage level and then the riser level and then additional level where the girls would go down this pole that's two, three stories high, and they would do these amazing tricks.
Wow.
So we have basically five girls and one boy on the bus. And the boy, he is more of like a San Francisco free spirit performing artist. And he took the, oh my gosh, he took the back area and that was his. And it just smelled because he would just be freebasing cocaine and jerking off to porn all night long in the back.
Wow.
So that was his area.
You guys, it was off limits.
It was like that. It was like that. It was like that. So he would send people on the bus and like stories would leak out about, oh my God, Etty was sitting on his lap and like blowing him when they're driving. I'm like, I'll never do that. I mean, I would never endanger.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like there are other people on the bus. How rude is that? So we did not date on that tour. When we got off the tour, he did ask if I wanted to go on winter vacation with him.
Uh-huh.
And I turned him down. And that was when he went up to Aspen and the Kennedy kit died.
Oh,
so
wow.
That was a whole thing that I missed. But he, was it Aspen or was it Deer Park? One of those ski resorts, but I turned him down. In the next 2 years, we would meet up whenever he had a gig. Mm-hmm. So that was nice, right? Yeah. To use to my advantage. I won't date you, but you have a gig. I've got bills to pay. And I remember and that was in 97, 98, and then in 99.
So you guys actually knew each other for quite a while.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we met at the end of 97, and then at the end of 99, I remember one of the dancers on tour, still one of my dearest girlfriends, she said to me, you know, Perry still looks at you the same way as he did in 97. Can you please just go out with him just once? If it doesn't work out, then I know in my heart that Aww. It wasn't meant to be. But I really want you to do this for me. So we went out.
And was it that you were just afraid of him being in a band, being a lead singer? You just didn't want to go there with him?
No, I just wasn't interested.
You weren't interested.
I just didn't.
She liked the bus driver.
Yeah. I did. I actually spent the holidays with the bus driver in Florida. And guess what? I freaking got a tour of the bus factory.
Anyone who wants to call you a gold digger. That dispels that. You were willing to go with the bus driver.
No, I was all about the bus driver. Like I said, I actually went and visited him, and he showed me. You would know this. You guys, the Calhoun brothers out in Kissimmee.
Oh, yeah.
They were a huge bus company. Yeah. I visited the factory. I looked at different buses. Oh. It was a fun trip. Yeah, I guess. So and then didn't work out because he got a little clingy. And like you said, if you know astrology, as a Sagittarius, I'll call you. Don't keep calling me. You know? Yeah. So, we went on a date and then, but we were dating, you know, so we did in 99, and I think we went and spent Y2K together in Miami, and we dated. He was seeing other people, I was seeing other people.
Oh, okay.
And then in 2001, over the summer, we broke up. He felt we were getting too close, blah, 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 blah. So I'm like, okay, fine. I went to Hawaii with my friend, which to this day, Maui is still where I go when I want sun and just put my life back in order. You know, I realized at that time.
It's great for that.
It's right. It's also the furthest landmass from anti-continents. So things manifest very quickly. So I went there. To, you know, clear my head, and I left a bunch of stuff at his house, including my Pilates reformer. And he said, you have all this stuff. And I said, keep it. I actually don't need it, and I don't want to see you again. If you feel like I should have it, mail everything back to me. If not, keep it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we broke up, and so now onto the stripper story. And I ended up dating a friend of mine that I've known since I was 19, and he was, again, a professional dancer. You know, we met up, blah, blah, blah. And he ended up becoming the dance captain at Chippendales. Hence joke about male strippers.
Oh.
So he hired male strippers. And those two guys had no idea what the fuck they were doing. Nor do they know what they were dealing with. So they were...
Fast forward to her birthday party that I went
party,
to
yep.
with the strippers.
So this guy was like sitting on my lap and he was like trying to take my tits out. Like tongue out. I'm like, wait, no.
No. He had like a whole wad of like money and it tipping them.
Right,
and
I remember. So they were like, they had me on the ground and they want to do these positions. And I said, just tell me how you want me to end up at, because you're going to end up injuring me. And as a dancer, I've done partnering work. I'll get myself there.
Right?
Do you not in your amateur dance experience
so
trying to
funny.
Bend me a certain way? I'll get myself there. Oh, you want, you know what I mean? And I think there was this one thing that was on the ground. It was on top. And Perry went, okay, that's it. Off of her. And I remember Gilby saying, that's like the shortest lap dance anyone's. And I remember Gilby, you know, he was like holding a drink going, wait, that's it? That's really short. I think that was 16
that's
seconds.
So funny.
Yeah, that was really
that was
funny.
Fun.
Yeah, it was such a fun party. you guys got back together and then you decided to get married.
No, well, we got back together because of the other tour, the Jubilee tour. Mm. And now they had Dori Sanchez, and she's done a lot of Cher's tour, and she's got these beautiful sets. At that time, they were still touring. I'm getting now really drunk, so my words are escaping me. Not sheds, but they're
arenas. Like
Key Arena. Thank you, arenas, Key Arena. Mm-hmm. And I said, I don't want the job because I'm fucking you. I want the job fair and square. So I showed up, got a number, and of course they have to hire me because I was still blowing him, right? But here's the fucked up thing, right? So once the, you know, choreographer, they all know me, so we, you know, booked the job. And Perry said, now here's the problem. I have never, ever taken a girlfriend on tour. For obvious reasons, right?
Mm-hmm. Ah. Why bring sand to a beach?
Exactly. He said, look.
A sandwich to a beach? Okay. You think Daniela?
So Daniela's got a... Exactly. Goes, I've never brought a girlfriend on tour for obvious reasons. You know, unfortunately, part of the perk of being a single man in the music industry,
that's successful, get into the industry.
is that you get... women and pussy passes.
Yeah.
And
a road code. Ingvae's bullshit.
What are they called?
Road code. Road code. It's so funny. Zach does this tour called Generation Axe.
Okay. Road code.
And it's with
bullshit.
Steve Vai and a bunch of really amazing guitar players.
Right. Oh, wow. That's. Is it all instrument or do they have.
Mostly it's instrumental, but they each do two or three songs and then they do a finale where it's all of them together.
That's so
and
amazing.
Steve Vai
like
is like a
see
rocket.
That.
It's really cool.
Please invite me the next
Without
time.
Without a doubt. As soon as we could all go back on the road.
Yes, yes.
And, but Ingvae is one of the guitarists on the tour. And, you know, these guys, Zach and Nuno Betancourt are the youngest guys on. Oh,
ooh,
actually, no, excuse me. Tosin,
I have stories about
Nuno. Nuno's something else.
Okay. Go on.
And so it was so funny because they've been, all of them are married for a million years or on their second marriages. And they've all been, you know, and there's one guy that's like Tosin Abasi is like hot and young and he's got girls in every city or did. He has a girlfriend now, so he doesn't anymore. He's
and
a really good guy.
Boys in some cities. I'm just throwing out there.
The first time they were starting Generation X, Zach brought me up to Seattle. It started in Seattle and we get on the bus to go to Vancouver to the second show. And you know, when you cross the border, how you all have to get off the bus and you know, they have to inspect.
They changed their rules. You used to be able to stay on the bunk.
Actually, now we're not even allowed in Canada. But they had everyone out and Ingvae saw me that there was a female, that there was someone's significant other. Uh-huh. The next day it was a band meeting and it was like, Barb, we all love you, but you can't be on the road anymore. And Zach was like,
go fuck yourself.
The fuck are you talking about? I was like, well, you know, Ingvae was just talking. It's like road code. Zach was like, road code?
Okay.
I'm 50 and I'm the youngest dude on this fucking. None of us are participating in road code
in a long time.
Take your road code and shove it up your ass.
But Ingvae still thinks it's 1985.
But this is what I've always said because, again, I've been with Jane's Addiction. I've been touring with him since 97. And some, you know, marriages come and go.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Girlfriend comes and goes. And then you get to, you know, when we do Lollapalooza, it's, you know, you have promoters, which are just as bad if you think about it, right?
Yeah.
So here's what I always say, right? What goes on the road stays on the road.
Unless you're married to me.
I will not, and this is to all the other guys, I will not rat you out. But I will not lie to you. What that means is if your wife comes up to me and asks me a direct question, I'm going to answer honestly. But if she doesn't ask, I'm not going to call her up and say, hey, guess what?
Exactly.
Because think about it. If I'm on tour, I'm with this guy every single day, and I see the wife once a month, who would I want mad at me?
Exactly right. Yeah.
Right? But if your wife comes up and say, hey, has my husband been fucking around? Yes, I heard him last Tuesday. Right? I will sing like a canary if she asks me a direct question. But I'm not going to be that asshole. Be like, hey, guess what I just saw?
Totally.
You know, nobody wants that. But that's
hysterical.
So he basically said, I don't. Let me think about it. I said, fine, fucking think about it. I can take it or leave it. And he said, you know what? I do want to go out on tour. And I feel like, and I still remember this day, they had the tour and they had this, we call like a people spinner. So this thing that's about 8 feet tall and it's made of metal and they have two swings on each side. And one of the dancers were able to stand on it and the two girls would get onto the straps and we would spin and throw our legs up. But there are also two swings. So at one point of the show, and
seeing you performing in the show.
In that one
I
show?
Was just like,
it's that one show, the big show with the teeter-totter. Yeah. So one point during Ted Just a Minute, I would run and it, the strap would caught me in the belly and I would start pretending to be running in the swing. But the guy who chases me would be on the other swing. But because we're on opposite and the thing is turning, he would never catch up. And I remember doing that. And one time, I got so lightheaded that I couldn't go on. And I thought, this is weird. And at that time, our costumes, this was before we were married, he took like these beautiful vintage, you know, rhinestone necklaces and made it into a G-string. Oh. And we would have pasties with a chain between the nipple and there would be our costumes, right? And I thought, God, my boobs are looking pretty good. And I found out in Milwaukee, I still remember I got pregnant.
There you go.
And that was a bit of a problem because I never wanted children.
Really?
I didn't want kids. I didn't want to get married. I didn't want kids. I was really fucking bummed out.
But isn't it funny how life twists and turns and changes you?
But my tits were looking good. And so I thought, okay. And so I remember.
Like, well, if my boobs look good.
And my boobs are looking good. And I remember going to a Halloween party in that outfit with drummer for the Police, Copeland.
Stuart Copeland.
Trey Anastasia, we were in a party and my tits were out. And then we got back to LA and I didn't want it. Is that bad? Is that bad to say?
No.
I didn't want a baby.
Totally honest.
I didn't want a baby. Mm-hmm. And at that time, Perry was going away to Sudan to save slaves. He brought a bunch of money. They were going to fly in, blah, blah, blah. And I said to him, you know, it was in December. And I said to him, you know, go. And when you come back, everything will be back to the way it used to be. So no stress, no worries, no problem.
Right.
I've got this. And I have a feeling the Republicans, conservative listeners are going to come and get me. But I just didn't want a baby. And he was flying to Switzerland, into Sudan. And he called from a payphone. And it was odd because we had just paged him. He left a bunch of stuff at home. And I thought, wow, Swiss Airline really take their fucking job seriously. They paged him at the airport and he's calling back. I said, yeah, so Swiss Airline paged you. He goes, what? No. He goes, I just want to ask you something. Please wait for me. Aww. You know, and at that time going to Sudan, it's very dangerous.
Yeah.
He was living in camps with people with machine
super
guns,
heavy.
With money. And he said, if I come back alive, I want to get married.
Yeah.
Wow. So I thought, oh, okay. And then it dawned on me that, and his assistant was freaking out, you know, he going, oh my God, you're going to get married. And I thought, wait, what does that mean though? Does it mean I have to keep the baby? Like, and she goes, yes. So I thought, and so he did come back and so we ended up getting married, having a baby, but it was
and it all worked out.
Well, once I got married, I had this gorgeous penthouse in LA, overlooking the Man's Chinese Theater at Penthouse, and I had rent control. Mm-hmm. So I would go back every so often, and one day Perry said, and I was pregnant at the time, and I think we were married by then, he goes, okay, when you disappear for a couple of days, where do you go? I'm curious. I don't want to, you know, be that guy. I said, I go home. I change my clothes out. I do laundry. And he goes, okay, well, you know that we are married. I feel like you should
be in the same house.
Unless I have rent control, I can't. And the next time when I come back, he cleared out half his closet.
Oh, sweet.
I mean, so we are married. We should live together. But yeah. I really, like, I miss my...
Your own space. And yeah.
And so, I'm an only child too, so yeah. It's hard.
Which, so you guys have been married now for...
Oh God.
A long time,
18
right?
years.
18 years, wow.
18.
Isn't that wild?
It is
goes
weird.
By so
How
fast.
Long have you guys been married?
We just actually celebrated 29 years married.
I was going to say you're going to be 30. We're going to be 28 years married in December.
Wow.
Yeah, so 30
that
years next year.
That is so crazy. I still remember Daniela telling me the story how
we met.
Oh, it's the best.
No, about how you would not get on the plane and you told your brother to make the news.
Yeah.
And then when you were at the Beverly Hills courthouse, you said, I've been lying about my age.
Yeah, it's all true. But yeah, we've been together since I was 16. So
16,
forever.
People, yeah. 16.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, Gilby thought you were 18.
He thought I was 18. I lied to him. Yeah.
So when you guys were getting married,
going I told him the truth.
And he said, I already went through your bag. I already saw your driver's license.
Like, I had a feeling something was up with you. You never had your ID, whatever.
So, and he said, as long as you're lying about being younger, being older and not younger,
exactly.
He was okay. Yeah.
Exactly. So it worked out. So, okay. So now... Fast forward. You guys got married, you had children, and then you guys started working. Well, you always worked together because you were his dancer,
right.
Which, by the way, I mean, if you've ever seen Jane's Addiction play live, it's unbelievable. And I've seen Etty perform, and you're an incredible performer.
Thank you.
Just a total feast for the eyes, and also a great singer. And I've seen you play in all kinds of places. I've even seen you at Coachella when you and Perry did your DJing set.
Oh, that's, yeah. Oh, wow. That's so
funny.
So I've seen all kinds of stuff and your jams and all kinds of things, but because I'm lucky enough to be friends with you guys, I want to talk a little bit about, you know, like, because Barb works with Zach. I don't work with Gilby, but Barb works with Zach, and you work with Perry, and then you guys started Lollapalooza. Like, what is that like in a marriage for you two? Always, you guys are always together.
Well, you know, we somewhere along the way, maybe because of our weird childhood, you know, whatnot, we ended up being surprisingly almost, I mean, I guess, I don't, I mean, what's normal, right?
Yeah.
Normal is whatever it's you
what
want
you
it to
know.
Be, right?
Yeah.
Right?
So we have this odd codependency to each other. And you are right. We work together. So when we're on tour together.
And it's a mutual admiration and respect.
Yes.
As well.
So we end up sharing a hotel room, a car, a bus, a stage, a dressing room.
Right.
You guys are always together. Do you have like a rule where you're never apart? Or is that just something because you work together?
So basically when we, once we had my baby, our baby, I'm an only child, it's our baby.
Aww.
He gets a little upset.
I do that
what I mean,
all the
your
time
baby,
too.
It's mine. It's
I
yours.
I say that all the time.
It's
I say
yours.
My daughter, my house.
Yeah.
It's
she
ours.
Came out of your butt. She was a part of you.
Right.
And
you
didn't contribute very much. She's yours. The baby is mine. It was my body, mine. So I just had a baby and they were in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And they went for 3 weeks, and we decided after that we're never going to be apart longer than 3 weeks.
That's our rule, 3 weeks.
Oh, but it gets better, right? So he said, okay, last show in London, I'll call you when I get home. Did not call me at the hotel.
Ooh.
And I thought, okay, I'm waiting. I'll call you. And I thought he was going to call me before the flight takes off. Did not call me. And I thought, okay, something is wrong, right?
Mm-hmm.
The motherfucker pulled up at the hotel, and if there is, do you guys have with your husbands like that one woman or that one man that's
cheat?
I had someone before we were married.
Who is that? Can you disclose?
You know what, I don't really remember her name, but she was from Atlanta. And
if that's a cheat girl, it would be the girl.
Yes,
right. Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
And does Gilby have that one girl you just, the woman of his dreams was your gorgeous?
It wasn't like a...
I wouldn't say that the girl from Atlanta was his dream woman, but she was someone that
he... There was always like exes hanging around,
right? He cheated on
me
before we got married with her.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's not like, oh, if I have one free pass, that would be the
that
girl.
Would be J-Lo.
A free pass?
A free pass.
Yeah. What was Gilby's free pass? I feel like he had several.
Yeah.
No, he had several. That's fucked up. Let me have a chat with him.
Yeah, I think he had several. I don't remember, though. I mean, I think he liked... The problem with the problem we had was back in those days was supermodels.
Because you're Guns N' Roses, so
yeah,
you have
so that
Seymour,
Stephanie Seymour was dating Axel, bringing all her supermodel girlfriends around
but you're
all
hotter,
the time.
You're hotter.
Oh yeah, not
I would have
a
told Daniela since the day that we've gotten close, the only thing a supermodel has over on her is 5 inches.
It's height. I'm serious.
Honestly,
we don't see her, but this one is
stunning.
Like she's still. How does she do that?
I don't know.
For like, she looks the same. I don't understand what's happening.
I only know her this way because we've
been
like,
you guys have
six or 7 years.
No, because I would tell you.
Well,
I
feel the same way about you guys. So I always look at you guys astonished.
So
by your
is Kate Moss.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
And
I think she's all of ours.
His drug
free pass. Wait.
His drug of choice is also free base and cocaine. So she basically
they go
said,
hand in hand or used to.
Oh no, I guess he pulls up at the hotel again, drinking. The guy from REM, losing my religion,
Michael
his name
Stipe.
Is. Thank you.
Yeah.
He showed up with Kay. We're going to a party. Come with us. Perry's like, sure, Slasha went. So from what I understood, Kate was sitting on his lap with a guy.
Sitting on Perry's lap?
Perry's lap with a chemist with the cleanest cocaine rocking them up.
Wow.
Two of his favorite things in the fucking world. No. Kate Moss
and
with a chemist cooking up.
Mine too, at least in the day.
And he said to her, I have a wife. I'm sorry. But that's why he couldn't call. And I said, yeah, right. But then when I met Kate was not a happy camper. When she met me, she goes, so what's your deal?
She gave you the up and down?
She did.
She did that to me,
she
too, when she
did,
met me. She
gorgeous.
Gave me the up and down
she,
also.
I'm sure she is lovely.
I mean,
but she
I don't
is,
know her, but
she is not a girl's
friendly.
Girl.
She's not a
so
girl's
she
girl,
So she was
yeah.
very upset. She
gorgeous.
Was angry that Perry wouldn't take her on. And I saw her like 10 years later. And she basically, you know, we're at this crazy millionaire's house in Brazil society for like charity. Sharon Stone was there. Like it was one of those gigs. We just happened to be in town. We got invited. I'm in like a normal outfit and women are in like beaded gowns.
Yeah.
And Kate was there and she goes, we want to do a photo shoot. So I thought to go over to that chair, like that, you know, and Perry can be on top of me and we can do all that. Oh hi, Etsy. I guess afterwards you can join too. She was not a girl's girl. Like
did
she,
you do the photo shoot though?
No. I mean, Perry's like... No, I mean, first of all,
terrified using you to hide behind, right?
Right, but
exactly. I would totally understand. Like, if Gilby's like, if Kate Moss is hitting on Gilby and saying, I want to do a photo shoot, I'm going to be on top, I'd be like, yeah, I get it. Okay, I'll do it.
Gilby would hide.
Wait, ladies.
Gilby would be terrified.
So, first of all, I thought Kate is an incredible woman, but she didn't quite continue to keep.
I have to be
that
honest, that's
gorgeousness.
So depressing.
So when we ran into her, she was not quite where she was when she was Kate Moss with Johnny Depp. That Kate Moss.
That
she
Kate
is
Moss was
a woman now.
I'm still so obsessed with her. She's one of my muses. Like
she,
I still.
Well, she is. But you understand, like when you.
Yeah, I have to be
see
honest.
Her,
I don't think she's aging well.
She well,
really?
I don't.
She,
maybe it's and I love her. She's my favorite. You know, I bought you the book. I mean,
she
I,
is
yeah.
what
I
Susan McKagan, who is Friends of Our Vows, calls skinny chubby, where she just is so reliant on. Below to keep a certain way where when you get older, as we get older, we understand there's an upkeep that we had to, and or you're just born lucky. And she just, once she stopped doing blow, and that doesn't bode well for women. And it's really unfair because we all know men that are just crazy drug addicts and they still held up. But it dries up. But it dries up a woman.
Yeah.
So she just wasn't what she was, and she wasn't really kind. So
more than a supermodel, I think she's a rock star.
She's a rock star.
That's, you know, so she's lived that hard life.
I think it's
a little harder on women than the guys.
And when she would say, you know, nothing tastes as good as thin feels, you're like, yeah, bitch, you have no taste buds because you're like snorting coal. You can't smell anything, which means you can't taste anything. I love food. You know, it's a battle.
What do you do to stay in shape? Because our listeners always ask us.
What do you do? I'm curious because you're the one to follow.
I do a lot of things. Well, first of all, I eat well. I'm a pretty healthy eater, although I do admit I have an incredible sweet tooth and I like sweets. I like desserts a lot. But I eat everything in moderation. I don't eat a lot. I eat what I want, but I eat in moderation.
Okay.
And I work out. I work out almost every day.
You do? Yeah,
I do.
Is it a walking weight? I'm very curious. Because if you see this one, she still looks like she's in her 20s. I'm just kind of wondering how that happens.
I do cardio bar. Have you ever done that? It's like a mix of the bar method, dance method. And it's great. And you can do it at home, especially during COVID times. I do it all online. Signed up for it and I do it online.
What do you do?
I love Pilates. I have a reformer at home. Zach bought me a couple years ago for one of our anniversaries. And I do a ton of cardio.
I'm running around all the time.
So.
But she has a baby, too.
Well,
she's
not a baby, but he's eight.
He's eight already.
How do you have four? You look like maybe one.
I have four.
Yeah. How old are they? So you have a 20.
So the oldest two are 28, and he's 27. Our daughter is Haley Ray. She's 28. Wow. Then we have a 27-year-old. Then we have an 18-year-old Hendrix, who we just went to college. And we have an 8-year-old. And all
you're just 20 starting years. All over just as soon as we're out of the house.
It was so crazy because Zach never did drugs, but Zach had a serious relationship with alcohol. And he went, Perry, I'm sure, knows of. Zach is pretty infamous for having a situation for maybe a decade. And he's been sober for 11 years now. But when he always wanted to just keep having babies, if it were up to him, we'd have like five more still.
You would still be popping them out.
Totally. I used to say to him, after we had our son Hendrix, who's now 18, he used to say, can we, you know, go for Babe Ruth, number four. Everything with him is baseball or sports of some sort.
It's always sports. Mine's basketball and football.
Zach,
my husband.
Well, that's right. You and I always used to see each other at the Laker games.
Zach loves all sports, but his favorite two have always been baseball and football.
Okay.
And so... because we grew up on the East Coast. Basketball wasn't a big thing on the East Coast.
Not the way.
Where
on the East Coast?
New York, New Jersey.
So my husband is a Jets fan.
My brother was Mets, Jets, because he was born in 69. But Zach, Yankees and Giants.
Okay.
So, my kids, actually our daughter should have been a son because she's obsessed with baseball like my husband used to be. She's a Dodger girl through and through. It's hysterical.
Wow. Yeah.
So we have one girl, she's 28, then we have Jesse, who's 27, Hendrix is 18, and Sabbath's 8, but when Zach got sober, he used to always say to me, can we have another baby, and I'd be like, when you're sober for a year, we'll talk about it, thinking I would never have to keep that promise, and then about a year into sobriety, he's like, you promised we would try again.
That's so rude to hold you to your promise.
I had my first babies in my early 20s. Then I had Hendrix in my early 30s. And then I had Sabbath at 43. And so, they're all Zach and, you know.
Are you kidding me?
Every time we go somewhere with all of them, they're like, oh, is this your second marriage? It's like, no, they're all 20 years apart between the oldest and the youngest.
How do you feel about that? Like, how do you go through, I need to talk to you about both of you. I have a 16-year-old and I also have an 18-year-old that we talked about graduated, right?
Yeah.
But the problem is, it's hard because I'm having a hard time accepting that he's an adult.
And if
something happens, they're not going to call me because he's an adult. I still wait up for him. And I remember you went through that with Frankie.
How do you let her go.
And I'm by no means a helicopter mom.
Yeah.
In my head, I am. How do you just... when do you stop waiting up for her? Do you still do? No, you never do.
I think you still do. And it's all, you're still uneasy. Like, you know, once you're a mom forever, they say, right? So it just, you never get over that. You're always worried about your kids. You're always, you know, you.
It's so funny because we were just talking about this right before you got here, because I just moved my 18-year-old into school, and he called me yesterday with kind of a moment, and I said, oh God, like, I've gone through this twice before, and you'd think I would be prepared for it, but it's still like, I'm coming down to get you. And then I was like, I've just got to let him.
He's so
but
funny.
I don't know if you ever, if it ever stops. And look at Sharon Osbourne, who's one of the closest people in my life. She, because we were babies when Zach got in the band, so they're like our, I mean, Sharon's too young to be my mom, but she's like, Zach calls her mom, so she's like his mom. But she's amazing. But her kids are in their mid to late 30s, and you still don't. You still do.
Of course.
Yeah, it's and especially I feel like in this day and age, you know, where they're dating and they're meeting people online, it's not what we did. So
it's a bit of a different generation, I think, and we're I think also, let's face it, our houses are interesting. You know, our family lifestyles and dynamics are interesting. Yes. So the kids like to still be around us and you know, be a part of everything that we all do. It's not, you know, we're not the I always describe us as like, we're like the Addams family.
I don't know. You guys are super duper close. I think for me,
they're very, very close. You and your daughter and your whole family. I actually envy that because we don't.
Me too.
How about you?
We have, you know, it's funny because my mom, I'm one of seven kids. I'm the fifth out of seven. So by the time I was growing up, my mother was just like, do you even like, who are you? You know, she just was like, she was just like, you want to go away at 16. You're going on the road with Ozzy Osbourne. Have a good time. You know, like, she did just like, you're level headed. I don't, you know, I don't care. But it's funny because my oldest two are only a year apart. And my daughter is like the matriarch of the family. Like it is really, truly.
She's more responsible than you, right?
My sons are totally afraid of her. If I say to them, I'm going to call Ray. They're like, don't call Ray! You know, so they're more afraid of her than me. I've had them now in three different decades. And it is a much different thing with the 18-year-old. Because Haley and Jesse just seem much more street smart.
You have them coming of age in different...
Yes.
Because I believe when your oldest two, they were not online dating.
No, they didn't even.
But now your 18-year-old is online dating.
Right.
It's scary as fuck,
weird.
Right?
Yeah,
it's
especially really now, weird. You know, it's like the sexually transmitted disease is COVID. Well, are you going on a date? Has he been tested for COVID? You know,
how do you
self-isolate? I mean,
especially with a girl, how do you let her just...
Well, you know, she's an adult, and so at a certain point,
she's very responsible.
Frankie's great, and she's super responsible. And I am really fortunate that we do have such a close relationship. She tells me everything.
So lucky.
So, but you know, at a certain point, you have to go, well, this is their journey. I had my journey. Now I got to let them have theirs.
Right, and you just hope that you have.
Gilby always says you got to let them fall.
Said that to me about Hendrix, because I was telling him about Hendrix having a little bit of a. Phone call with me yesterday, and Gilby's like, he'll figure it out, he'll be fine, just let him do his thing. And I was so tempted to just drive back down there and pick him up yesterday. And Zach is kind of as bad as me. He was like, he's got no air conditioning, bring him home for the weekend. He doesn't need, you know, Zach's whole thing is school. Who needs school? School's a bunch of bullshit. Come on the road with me. And I'm like, I was like, you know, graduated top 1% of my class. I'm super smart. My kids, one went to school for, you know, graduated Berkeley with honors. The other one graduated UCLA pre-med with honors. So, thank you. But I'm like, my kids are really smart. Zach couldn't give two shits about school. He's just like, fuck school. What do you need to go there for? And I'm like, so he's not any better than me. He's just like, bring him home. He doesn't need to go to school. It's too hot. He has no air conditioning.
It's too hot. You know, he's in Irvine.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is hot there.
Right now it is. It's just really crazy.
We should ask you to get a visual of this because Eddie's also playing bartender in between.
It's fabulous. I think you need... an ice cube in
your champagne. She's not drinking.
And two bottles of champagne.
Well, I was hoping to get Daniela drunk because she said that when she gets drunk, she gets naked. I'm waiting for that to happen.
So cute.
I'm waiting to get a peek there.
You got me drunk during the podcast when we did it with our husbands. It would be funny if you had
heard.
We should. The Newlywed Game.
Oh, it we want to so do that with you guys. You guys,
we will fucking kill it, I think. I say that
now.
You guys are never together. Gabby and Daniela got everyone right, and Zach and I usually do.
We just have so much to talk to Etty about that we have decided to do a part two to this visit. So make sure you tune in to part two and listen to the rest of our chat with Etty Farrell. We obviously need to do a disclaimer here. So we want you to know we are not doctors or experts by any stretch of the imagination. We are just a couple of gals that are looking for magical products, procedures, and experiences. And in our quest, we will share our honest as fuck opinions with you. So please make sure before you try anything we talk about that you know your own restrictions and do so at your own risk. Do not blame us for any of your issues. We're just experimenting too.
Did you guys hear about that couple that went on vacation and one spouse murdered the other? In fact, the entire vacation was planned just so that they could make the murder look like an accident.
Ah, so like a slaycation.
Oh boy, sounds like a fun new true crime podcast to me.
On every episode of Slaycation, we'll examine true cases of people who were killed while on vacation.
Was it murder? Or just a horrible accident? That's up to you and the law to decide.
But either way, if you leave for your vacation in the plane and come home under the plane, you've definitely gone on a slaycation.
Join us every week for a fascinating new episode.
911, what's your emergency?
But make sure to pack your body bags,
because getting away can be murder.
This is Slaycation.